This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Scotty, are you ready?
I'm so ready. Give it to me.
Here it is. Tree impersonator nabbed in Portland, Maine.
What? That got me. You caught me off guard.
Thank you.
I'm going, yeah, we're calling it. That's bananas.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Bananas, silly, so strange news show there ever once was. This is Kurt Brownoler.
And this is Scotty Landis. Thank you for listening to Bananas, ladies and gentlemen, and Bananimals.
I'm so excited to have our guest here, old friend. You may know her from Always Be My Maybe or The First Wives Club or her new hour on Netflix.
Yep.
Welcome to Butopia, Michelle Butopia. Buto.
Yes.
Hi.
Yes.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, you guys. I haven't seen you in forever, and it's, you know, nice to not see you now.
Yeah.
Are you in London?
No. It's funny. When I tell people I'm in England, they're like, London. And I'm like, no, Manchester. Mm-hmm. And no shade to Manchester, but it ain't London.
No.
But also, London ain't London. So, yeah, you know, it's cute. It's sort of the Greenpoint of the UK.
Yeah.
Nice. There
I
we
like
go.
It there.
A deep Brooklyn reference.
Mm-hmm. That was a deep Brooklyn reference for everybody.
I once took a bus. I was in London visiting a friend, and he's a huge fan of a soccer team called Crystal Palace, and they were playing Manchester United, and he was like, there's a bus, and it's all Palace fans, and we ride up, and then there's a cheering section, and they have to sequester the fans, or they'll beat the hell out of each other. So it's like 5 hours up there. It took so long. And then Crystal Palace, the team we're cheering for, scores an own goal. So they score on themselves accidentally within 45 seconds. So we were never in it at all. The crowd, the fans just get drunk at halftime because you can't drink in the stands. And then you remember that you have a five-hour bus ride back to London. So to me, and I was like, my friend was with my two friends were together, so they were falling asleep on each other, all cute, and I'm just sitting in a bus upright, just like miserable for 5 hours while Brits are like, why they should have won? They're a terrible team. And I'm like, oh my God. So Manchester.
Oh my God, you should tell Steve Carell this story, because this sounds like every movie he's ever done. This is some white man shit.
I know.
You know what?
You're right.
Have you ever scored on yourself? It's the worst feeling.
Yeah. Even if it bounces off.
I've never scored on myself.
Oh my God. The first time I played basketball in first grade, I scored on myself, and then I never played again.
Mm-hmm. Oh no. But you actually made a basket, but on your own basket.
Yeah. And everybody like yelled at me. Oh. And I'm talking kids. I'm talking the moms that brought the good juices. Like, everybody yelled at me. And I shan't do this again. So
you were so shamed you turned to comedy to save you. And it worked out. Honestly, it worked out
really well. It's true. That was my laces out moment in Pet Detective. And here I am.
Did they do Daylight Savings Time where you are?
Girl, let me tell you.
Please.
So I brought my 22-month-old twins with me. I should say they're two, but there's milestones that happen at two that aren't happening now.
That's right.
Like, they can't say words, but they got all the goddamn opinions. And so I brought them with me because I'm here in Manchester.
Love it.
AKA London Light for 6 weeks. So I brought them and my nanny. And I'm like, look, I'm going to get through quarantine. It's going to be great. And they were so jet lagged. It just felt like I was like in a panic room trying to like find a next clue for like, give them the milk, give them the pacifier, give them the knife. Who cares? And then as soon as we got on, the daylight savings happened. And I forget that it happens in Europe.
Me too.
Because it doesn't happen at the same time.
Yeah. I didn't even know it did happen there. Is it an hour?
It's an hour. Mm-hmm. And basically it's just gray all day and then like dark from like late afternoon to like late morning. I'm like, what? No wonder Adele lost weight and got some Bantu knots and came to New York. I mean, this is crazy.
Let's get rid of it. It sucks
because no one can see my cute freckles under my mask. I'm just making hard eye contact with everyone.
Hard, rainy eye contact everywhere you go. Yeah, no, it is fucked. I have two kids as well, and the just 1 hour, I was shocked by how much 1 hour has destroyed our lives. It is unimaginable. They think 4:30 is 5:30. I mean, it's just like, it's awful. And I'm still fucked
up. Crazy that I didn't know. I'm like, why are you waking up at 5?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah, because your phone just changes. Your phone changes and you don't know, right?
Yes, nobody told a bitch.
No, they did not. And that we got to get rid of it. On this podcast, we keep it light, we keep it not political. But I would say if it's ever on your ballot in your state to get rid of daylight, get rid of it. We don't need this. It's old. It's from World War I. We don't need this.
Yeah, it's for farmers though, right? So they could figure out how much light they have for crops or some shit.
That doesn't make right when you try and explain it, you're like, wait, that doesn't even what?
It's it was started by the Germans. It was started by Germans in World War One because they wanted to save electricity, so they wanted to utilize daylight more. I think
we are doing this because Germans are cheap. I cannot stand that.
I know they're too efficient.
I'm gonna have to put in like a little DM. I'm gonna slide a DM to Angela and be like, look, I know you're running your country well in your sensible shoes, but listen, girl.
Get rid of it. Do you guys want to hear about this tree impersonator nabbed in Portland, Maine?
Absolutely.
This was sent in by @JulieHooley. Thank you, @JulieHooley from Instagram. This was in the Washington Post.
Love
by
it.
Derek Hawkins, our favorite Derek Hawkins.
He's so good. So good.
Okay. On Monday, Asher A. Woodworth draped himself in evergreen branches and sauntered into a busy intersection in the city's downtown. Braving afternoon traffic, the 30-year-old Portland native slowly crept through the crosswalk, his face and body obscured by layers of plush green boughs. I'll post the photograph. This is, he looks exactly like a tree. There is no way you can't tell there's a human being inside. You can kind of see his left shoe, but you can't see him.
I am getting the goosey. I love hugging trees. I would hug the shit out of him.
Right? And just slowly moving through a crosswalk was his whole idea. So then,
isn't marijuana legal there?
I think so.
For
and
sure.
I think it's pretty
Let
obvious.
This was in Portland or where?
Portland, Maine, surprising.
Yeah,
think it's Portland. No, this is Portland, Maine.
Yeah.
Where you could get beat up for doing this.
Beards and sweaters.
Okay, so the cops come. They are like, come on, get out of the road. And then he refuses. And then they kind of like physically move him off the road. They're like, we're going to arrest you. They physically move him off the road. They put him on the sidewalk. And then they go, all right, buddy, keep going. We're not going to actually arrest you. You know, just get out of here.
Okay.
And then they go and they get back in their car. As they get back in their car, he just walks back out into traffic again. This is what makes it the bananas. So then they came over and arrested him. Yes, they did put handcuffs on him while he was in the tree. So then the tree had handcuffs on behind his back.
No, this is wild.
Yeah.
It looks like they're trying to uproot a tree.
It really does. It's like two cops uprooting a tree. And of course, it's just a guy who just said he wanted to A friend told CBS that Woodworth was studying traffic patterns, but Woodworth gave the police a different account, according to the Press Herald. Quote, his motivation was to see how people would react to what he called his performance and how he might impact people's natural choreography. So he's just a real weirdo.
This almost sounds like a crunchy Eric Andre bit.
Yes.
Yeah. Where there's no like, there's no one who's actually getting like pranked. It's literally just a tree.
Yeah, it's like the tree's trying to prank the earth. I don't even know what, but good for that guy. I mean, like, look, wasn't it just Halloween? Maybe, you know how you always have that idea in your back pocket, and you're like, one year I want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
He took it a step too far. This is what happens when you don't have sex, or at least a downward dog,
or too much sex.
It's very important to, you know, be touched, have a hug, drink a lot of water, eat something green.
You have to
dress up as something green. I don't know why I turned into his mom and I'm giving him a to-do list.
You
but
should.
This is how I feel.
Michelle, that's actually how Michelle and I met, is on a prank show.
Oh yeah.
Speaking of pranks.
What? Are you a mall cop? Because that was a segue.
Thank you. We were on a pilot for Comedy Central in, I think, what, 2000? 2001 or something? It was
a long
time.
Well, I started comedy in 2001, so I want to say it's like 2004 or 5.
Wow.
Oh, man, if it's that late, it's even more embarrassing. It was a pilot for Comedy Central. I can't believe that this got greenlit. It was called Race Riot.
Oh, fun. Yeah.
And it was a racially based prank show.
What could go wrong?
Yeah.
What an innocent time.
And the thing is, it's like Chappelle had just ended and they really wanted a replacement that, you know, sort of talked about race in a fun way.
And why wouldn't you?
But Chappelle is fucking Chappelle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so obviously we're funny, we're woke, we're cool. But this was like next level. The things, see, a lot of these youth, they think that, you know, we're so antiquated and, you know, everything's so fucked up and it's all about labels and how you like, you know, what your pronoun is. But like 15 short years ago, it was fucking, we were all Archie Bunker and didn't even fucking know it.
So true.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I mean, what was your, was your prank a KKK costume?
Oh yeah, it sure was. I did two of them. And I want to put out there that this, I was a young actor. I was being told to do these things. It was one of my, it was, I think, the first gig I ever had where I was like on, like going to be on camera. It was a pilot. It never aired. And so I was just being told, and I was like, okay, I guess this is how TV works. But I had to bring a robe, a KKK robe, to a dry cleaner and just ask them to like get out stains out of it. And it was never funny. It was just fucking awful and awkward. And I had to do it for 8 hours straight at multiple different places. And the people who were working there didn't give a shit and didn't understand. And so they're like, yeah, sure. It's just this piece of white fabric. Like, yeah, sure.
Right. If it's not on, it just looks like a robe.
It was so crazy.
You could have been a priest.
It was insane. Also, I think my bit, this is what's wild. Do I want to share this?
I mean, I just shared mine, Michelle.
No, but like the black story behind my prank was the person I was doing it with, I kind of was dating or dated.
Oh, boy.
It was a very awkward place. Mm-hmm. That we were in, and then we booked this thing together.
Oh my God.
And then he's a black dude, and then and he's playing a guy on a date, and so I'm playing the waitress, and he's out with multiple white girls, and I have to be like the disgruntled waitress, like in a Spike Lee movie, where I'm just like, yeah, that's what you want to do. You want to take all our brothers and shit like that.
Oh, God.
And it was wild because I'm like, we just broke up like 2 weeks ago. This
God, it was like fucking real life in addition to being a crazy fucking prank.
Oh, God.
One girl was so upset with me, she locked herself in the bathroom and cried. And they were like, no, this is a good job. Like, you did a good job. Like, she really felt it. I was like, we have no morals. I don't know how prank works. But yeah, which is crazy. I worked on a prank show with both y'all motherfuckers.
My first three jobs. I hate pranks too, by the way. But my first three writing jobs
so deeply
were pranks. Money from Strangers we worked on for a couple seasons. We did a lot of those, actually. I did a show called Mega Drive, was my first show with Johnny Pemberton, where we would like just drive the biggest vehicles in the world that you've never seen on TV. But then the person training Johnny, we would prank that person while they were getting trained. And Johnny's so sweet and lovable, it worked. But even Money from Strangers, I would have to look down. Like, I would tell y'all, I'd be like, okay, we got to go up to $100 and let's have them do that. And then I'd have to physically look down and not look at the monitors because it was like upsetting to me.
It was crazy. I remember Nick Rutherford and I were just like in that sweaty fucking van. And I remember it was around my birthday. So it was like end of July. And we were like, we need a fucking drink. And so we just left like on our lunch break to go to a bar real quick and get a drink. And we were like talking shit about how crazy the show was. And we didn't realize we were still mic'd.
Still mic'd, baby.
That's all right. That happens. All newer performers on every show, they're like, somebody starts talking shit, and I'm all, like, if I'm running a show, I'm always like pointing at their mic to be like, yeah, we're listening to you. But, and then it's like, you only have to do that once. And then it like puts the fear of God. But also, you would have gotten fired from Money from Strangers. So you would have been like, great, let's just keep drinking.
Scotty, give me a story.
I'm going to keep up with the drinking. I have two short ones that go together because there are two food announcements, guys. Four Loko to launch the Quibi of getting absolutely shit-faced. This was sent in by Copy Haste and written by Jenny G. Zhang for Eater. So Four Loko releases new flavored shots because nothing matters. After a brief foray into the intersection of wellness and apocalypse with the release of a Four Loko hard seltzer last fall, the brand whose boozy energy drinks were once known as, quote, blackouts in a can, those were good times. Those were New York times. To its dirtbag roots with a new line of flavored bottled shots available in sour blue raz, lemonade, sour peach. They're ready-to-drink shots that are 13.9% alcohol by volume, and their official name is The Pre-Game. So you can get some Four Loko pre-games, guys.
Wow. They're just really telling you.
But also 13.9% is just like a glass of wine. So you're doing shots of wine, sugar wine.
It's more of a sugar rush,
I'm here
I think.
For it. Let's be efficient with our calories.
I agree. I agree.
That is wild. I think like the 19-year-old in me just got really excited.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And heartburn. Like now you're just like, oh, that will hurt. That will hurt later if we drink sour blue raz wine shots. They're not caffeinated anymore, I don't think.
Oh, God. Anything that's named after the color it is never going to be good.
That's right.
Yeah.
I know. I was when I remember being like 20 and going to a bar with somebody, fake ID, and she lined up shots, and I did that thing where you do the shot and it goes down like into your throat and your chest, and you're like, oh, I'm going to throw up in the next 45 seconds. And I like try to play it cool. She's like, are you going to throw up? Like totally new. I was like, no, I'm good. I'm totally fine. I love this. And like I managed to like stall, and then I was like, going to go to the bathroom, threw up, got sick. So then I was like, I have to, this is going to be part of my life. And I don't ever feel this way. So when I got, I went home and I was, whatever it was, let's say it was vodka was what I was shooting. I bought a bottle and for a week I would do like three shots a night of that thing, like to get used to it. And then by the end of the week, I was used to vodka. So the next week I switched to tequila and I would do a lime salt shooter. I would do three or four a night. And then by the end, and so it was like a mental thing where I went through gin. I did rum. Rum's easy. Everybody like Malibu and Parrot Bay and that stuff's a piece of cake. But it got to the point where I was like whiskey at room temperature, bigger shot. And I just walked myself into being able to handle any shot. So socially, if it ever came up, I would never have it. And it worked. And like my roommates would be like, what are you doing? I lived with four guys. And I'm like, I'm just in training. I'm just training to do shots.
I love that
that
was useful for a certain amount of time. And now you would never do a shot ever now.
Yeah. Well,
I have never heard anything like that. You just turned into Robert De Niro in Cape Fear. Yes. Like, you know what?
Yes.
It's personal. I'm coming back stronger than ever.
Yes. It's exactly how I handle things. Like, I don't get stressed out. I just, like, make a plan, and I'm like, I will stick to this plan. I will. And so now, like, I was at a party, you know, before the Great Quar, and somebody's, like, just doing Jaeger shots. I'm like, do you want one? I'm like, sure. And I just do it, and they're like, isn't that gross? They're like, do you want to do this one? Because I don't want to do this one. So I did two in a row, and this guy, Atiba, was like, oh. And I was like, dude, I trained myself 20 years ago. I'm good to go.
That's insane.
It is.
That's amazing. You'd make a really good wife. I can't keep anything down that doesn't want to be down there.
Exactly.
I mean, my friend was out on a date with a really, really, really sweet, attractive man. And he was a pescatarian. And they went out. And she hates fish, but she tried. Mm-hmm. He got oysters. He got a seafood tower. He got oysters.
He got a seafood tower for someone who doesn't like fish. That's like the most intense way to do it.
It's all raw.
The things that people do for people they don't like. I'm like, it's literally just shelves of fucking fish. And so, I'm like, you're going to leave this date with gout. You're going to be a fat cake. Like, what are you
that
doing?
That is so funny.
And she tried an oyster. She was like, and I'm like, they look like fetuses. How did you do it? And she said, I didn't. She said, I tried to throw it back like a shot, and it just came right back out. Like almost in back, like back into the shell. Huh? And I'm like, you know, some of us can, some of us can't.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Also, we need to calm down on the oysters as a country. That and daylight savings. I love oysters. They're delicious. Kurt and I used to do oyster shooters all the time. When that was like how we would celebrate 15 years ago at Blue Ribbon. And
I think oysters is like a hookah.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yes.
I think it's like a certain part of your life. You're like,
yes, yes,
oysters and champagne.
So true. I love
it. And it's like such you feel like such an adult. You're just like, I'm having oysters. It's 2 a.m. and I'm having a martini and oysters.
I know.
I don't have oysters anymore.
No, but did you know that oysters are best when you have them in a month that ends in ER?
Because they breed or something?
Yeah.
They spawn or something like that?
Yeah, like because like June they spawn, I think, and July are no good. Ugh. August.
No thanks.
Yeah. We're actually trying to harvest oysters in our backyard because we have the ocean in our backyard.
Wow.
Whoa. Where? In L.A.?
Yeah, in the Bronx. Our backyard is the Long Island Sound. And,
right.
Yeah, we're just trying to make it happen.
That's cool.
I heard that they have huge oyster beds now. In the East River, and they're like cleaning up the river.
Filtering.
It's bananas.
That's pretty awesome. I love that shit. Oh, that'd be very exciting if you could do that.
I wanted to mention this other one that we don't have to talk about too much, but it's just seasonal, so I want to get it out there for our fans. I want the Bananimals to know. KFC is once again selling its fried chicken scented fire logs at Walmart.
Fire logs?
Fire logs. So this is by Tanya Garcia at Market Watch. So KFC has brought back its fried chicken scented 11 herbs and spices fire log for the third year, and it's only being sold at Walmart. It's available in select stores. This item is priced at $15.88. Go ahead,
you
Kurt.
You burn it? And
yeah.
It smells like fried chicken?
Yes, exactly.
That's gotta be. It's the chemicals.
I'm here for it. I'm here for it. I don't need cinnamon. I don't need eggnog. I don't need pumpkin. I want the savory. I'm here for that.
I'm here for the savory.
Oh, my God.
You know those 11 herbs and spices? That's like the next best. Like, I don't need to eat it. I can just smell it.
Yes. Smell it and then eat a salad and just be like, it's the same thing.
I'll smell that shit. Well, I have some grapes and do, like, you know, a cat-cow.
Doing cat-cow in front of a KFC fire log, 11 spices fire log. Also, they'll be available in Canada for the first time. We have a ton of Canadian listeners. So, guys, rush because the 11 Herbs and Spices Fire Log is made with EnviroLog. It's environmentally conscious consumer product made out of recycling. And it has sold out the last 2 years. So,
Sprint. Who the fuck has this?
Sprint.
Can I
tell you, I've actually been to a Walmart in Vancouver, and there were people there with no shoes. And I'm like, I thought this was just strictly an American thing, but I think it's a Walmart thing.
Yes, you can camp overnight in your RV at any Walmart. You're allowed to park your RV and stay for free, and they usually have Wi-Fi outside. And if you go by a Walmart at 1 a.m., there's always 5 campers. So those people, you know, you just get up in the morning.
You go in
and use Walmart's bathrooms barefoot, I guess.
Yep.
I always thought if I drive by Walmart at 1 a.m., I'll see like a little Natalie Portman coming out with a baby. You know what I mean?
Yes. Good call.
Did you ever see that movie? Anyway.
What movie is it?
Oh, my God. Now I have to look it up.
All right. While Michelle looks it up, we're going to take a tiny little break. We'll mm-hmm. be right back.
Bananas.
We are back, ladies yep. and gentlemen. Guys, in case you haven't ever gone there, go to our Instagram at the Bananas Podcast. DM us, send us some stories. We're always on there responding, talking with you guys. Also, we got sweet new merch. Sweet
Do
new
we
merch.
Ever? I
oh,
love
oh,
it.
Oh, I love sweet merch.
Just
sweet
in time
merch.
For
okay.
winter
can
holidays.
I, can I tell you what the movie is?
Please.
Okay, it was out in 2000. That just feels weird just saying 2000.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's called Where the Heart Is.
Where oh. the Heart Is. I've never seen it.
Yeah. At she Walmart. Was a Southern teenager that was knocked up by her boyfriend, and she went into the Walmart to like get something, and he just left her in there. And so she just stayed there and like would sleep there at night and ended up having her baby there.
Oh my but, God.
Yeah. And then
that's a good
I did not
premise.
Expect that.
No.
Yeah, and then like Stockard Channing ends up taking her in. It's a great story. Y'all should watch it.
All right.
Sounds good.
I'm
you
in.
Heard it here first. Kurt, what you
what
got
are you
for
doing
us?
In the UK? Can you talk about it, by the way, Michelle?
Sort of.
Okay.
I am filming something. I'm hosting a show.
Oh, I know which that show is.
I know what that show is.
And the show will be on Netflix, and it's a reality competition show, and that's all I can say.
That's all you can say. Can we say it? Because I know what it is.
Well, I don't want to be a square.
Okay.
I think we've given everyone enough information to go find that show.
Yeah, that's right.
Even though it's the second season of it, you still can't talk about it. I love that. I guess it has to be like super secret about it. It's a very good show, weirdly.
Have you watched it?
I have watched it. I don't watch any reality shows. And I was like, what is this? Because I was like, this seems crazy. And I started watching. I was like, oh, it's a very compelling show. It's like you can't stop watching.
I want to say that the British people are very good at just the whole social experiment of it all. Because it's not this reality where people show up with eyelashes and they're like, you disrespected me in my Prosecco line. Yeah. And then like that is the arc for the whole season. It's, you know, it is about social media. And whether you like it or not, you have to deal with social media and what people think of you and what your picture says in context within text messages and also, it's a game for money, and just I am fascinated by catfishing. Period.
Me too.
Oh, and there, I know, and I love people's reactions when they find out someone was catfishing them too. Where it's like some people are destroyed, and other people are like, "That's awesome!"
Yeah, like you did it, girl. And I'm like, "Oh my God!" Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it is fascinating. It actually like is saying something about what the fuck is going on.
Yeah,
with
it's
this,
great
with this phone.
The night it came out, like five people texted me, and knowing I don't really watch a ton of reality TV, and they were like, have you seen this? This is so fascinating. They were like, you should do a horror movie about this. I'm like, I think this is good on its own. I think it's happening in its own way. Same with Catfish, the movie and the show. You're like, why would you? It's less scary to do the fictional version. It's more fascinating and kind of horrifying to be like, oh, look at this person getting away with this. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, because these people. I mean, it's a couple of things, right? A lot of them have self-esteem issues where they're just like, nobody wants to see the real me.
Right.
But some people get into it in a way where it's like, and I'm not talking about the show, I'm talking about Cap, where it's like, they just want the attention as that person, but they also, it's mind fuckery. They are assuming they know what people want and they want to mess with them. And it's just like, you know, at the end of the day, you really don't know who you're talking to. I mean, even your partner that you see every day, you don't know.
Mm-hmm. Also, with that idea that like that you could imagine what you think people want. Like, I don't even know what I want. I don't know what people want from me as me. Like, to know what people want from some other version of myself is right. a level of thinking that I am incapable of.
Yeah. It's amazing what your profile will say about you. It's like, basically your profile is your algorithm, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, mm-hmm. there's going to be this, and there's going to be a comedy, and there's going to be like a zucchini bread or whatever the fuck it is. I'm going to dust my head. Because you like know it. You've got that zucchini bread look. You know, like,
I feel like I do.
It's so wild.
Do you want to cool. hear an adorable story, guys?
Let's go adorable.
Yes.
Well, it's adorable with a twinge of sadness, which is
oh, great.
Our world now.
That's life.
Jesus Christ.
This is from BBC News by Amy Stewart. I don't know if I'm going to pronounce. There's a ton of words in here that I am not going to pronounce correctly. And
who cares?
People can come after me.
Yep.
This
bring
is
it.
Fungi. Fungi, the missing dolphin who became an Irish star.
Right.
This is a very Irish story, and it's very adorable. It's not every day that an entire town launches a search operation for a dolphin, but Fungi, a 37-year mainstay of Dingle Harbor in County Kerry, is more than just an animal to the locals. Already we got great words. The bottlenose dolphin, who was first sighted in the 1980s, is the focus of an entire tourism industry and a beloved part of the texture of the town, which touches the Atlantic Ocean on Ireland's southwest coast. But his disappearance last Tuesday prompted an extensive search that was paused on Monday due to bad weather. Here's where some words come in that I don't understand. Journalist, and I'm just going to pronounce this the way it is written on the page.
Blow
journalist
it up, dude.
Sean McAnn Tasik. That's the only way that this could be pronounced.
Okay.
It's Tasik.
Yeah, Agatha Christie.
Maybe it's,
what?
I got
that's
it.
His name. Sean Mack, and maybe it's Tasahive?
Sure.
I don't know.
Just say Siobhan.
It's T-S-I-T-H-I.
Tell me, I'm married for a guy, so I can figure this
you
out.
Do, yes, T? You have a great
okay.
bit.
Little T, big S. Little I with an umlaut. T-H-I-G-H.
No.
A lot of consonants.
Right. He's from Dingle. He said the little marine mammal is more than a tourist attraction to the people who live here. He showed up in 1983. Okay, so basically, I'm not going to read this whole thing because it's very long, but this bottlenose dolphin shows up in the 1980s and then just stays. And apparently, he is the oldest living known solitary bottlenose dolphin. And it is common for bottlenose dolphins, who are usually, they're, you know, like animals, social animals,
yeah.
to be in groups. He has just stayed there, and there is a woman who swims with her. Her name is Nuala, another great Irish name, has particularly appreciated over the last 10 years when she has been involved in long, cold-water swimming events. This is my swimming hole, and having another living, breathing animal there who just trots along with you in the water is a lovely feeling. So for 10 years, she swam in there every day, and he swam next to her.
Wow.
This dolphin is like, he jumps for like tourists. Tourists go out on boats, and he like jumps for them.
Wow.
He just seems to be like the best animal ever.
Oh, my God.
And now he's missing, and the entire town is searching for him. This was October 20th.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this
we
is
gotta go.
October 20th.
I got to dedicate
go,
my life
and
to
I really hope
Fungi.
Fungi or Fungi, again, very...
Oh, bad. My God.
Are you looking at it? Are you looking at Fungi?
I'm actually looking up the lyrics for Free Willy.
That's fine, too. Hold me like the River Jordan. I will then say to
hold
thee...
Hold me like the River Jordan.
Yeah.
And I will then say to thee...
That's so funny.
I didn't even know
friend.
Free Willy had a song.
Oh, it's Michael Jackson.
Oh, my God.
Guys, I've never seen Free Willy.
I mean, that's why there's that saying, right? Like on a magnet, if you set something free or whatever mm-hmm. the fuck.
Oh, yeah. It came from Free Willy.
There was a girl in my middle school whose father died of cancer, which is extremely sad. And it came out exactly when that movie, or he passed away when that movie came out, same exact week or whatever. And so she became obsessed with it. And then to her credit, whenever she would start feeling down, the teachers would just play Free Willy for the whole class. So in eighth grade, I saw Free Willy probably once or once a day or at least three times a week, because it was when I won't name her name, but whenever she was feeling bad, they would be like, do you want to watch Free Willy? And we would watch it all the way through. Like, I've seen that movie. That's why I knew that song. I've seen that movie.
I was about to say
27 times.
Oh my God. What a shared experience.
That's what it's all about here. We share them. Also, I went back recently to watch The Final Jump. Kurt, no spoilers, but Willy jumps out of captivity over the jetty, and the kid raises. It's been mocked.
It's the cover. It's the cover of the movie.
And it looks bad. This was like the early days of CGI. It looks like somebody just threw a refrigerator box over a kid and sprayed some water at it.
Look, you know, Willy jumped so James Cameron could fly. You know what I mean?
So wait, in your special, you mentioned that you just shot something with J-Lo, right? When does that
happen?
Yes. What is it? Can you talk about that?
Of course I can, and they would love me to.
Utopia.
They must be so psyched that you talked about it right at the top of the special.
I know, it's crazy. So anyways, the movie's called Marry Me, and J-Lo plays a Latina pop star.
Shocker.
Stretch. And I know. And her boyfriend, who's played by Maluma, who's basically like the Justin Bieber of Colombia. This dude has like millions and millions of followers. And I never heard of him. Now I'm like, I'm obsessed and I know all your songs in Spanish. Yeah. That's and cool. So you have these two huge stars, playing stars. They're supposed to get married on stage in this big concert because they have, oh, and this is like a kicker too. They wrote and produced a whole album to go with the movie. Whoa. So it feels like Greek.
So smart.
But,
oh, well, wow.
So smart. That's genius.
Bananas. Fucking bananas. Something doesn't happen. Something happens. They don't get married. Mm-hmm. She sees Owen Wilson in the
natural
audience, so ends up marrying him. I'm not
natural connection.
Away, but...
Of course. Yeah, sure.
And I know it's fucking wild, especially the disbelief, right? So they end up getting married and try to like figure it out, and I play her sassy assistant where I'm just like, what's up with dad bod? Owen is like the sweetest. He's like the sweetest man, and just to be so mean to him all the time was so much fun. It's like my husband's really sweet, so I can't be mean to him, so it's just nice to get it out for several takes. Yeah, I mean, I didn't have to dance. I wanted to. They were like, we don't need you to. I'm like, I could.
You're just dancing.
I love J-Lo.
In between takes. Just be like, I can do it.
Yeah,
I can
exactly.
do it.
Well, that's the thing with dancers. They like dance in between takes. Like they just can't stop moving their body. I'm like, I'm going to be sitting down. I was also with John Bradley West, who plays Sam Tarly in Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah. He's great.
He's very funny.
He's dope. Yeah.
Seems
we
like
had
a
most
nice
of
guy.
Our scenes together. And yeah, he's from Manchester.
5-hour bus ride. That's all I know about Manchester. A lot of guys peeing. A lot of drunk Brits peeing up there. I discovered that too.
All I know about Manchester is that the Laws are from there, and that's it.
The who? Oh, yeah.
The Laws, like
they're
a
cool band.
Here we go. Oh wait,
there she goes. There she goes again.
There she goes again.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, that song's good. I'm gonna listen to that as soon as we're done with this.
I just read an entire thing that the guy who like wrote that song hates it so much to this day. It is the biggest hit. Everyone loves that album.
Yes.
Everyone, it's their only album for the Laws, and it's a fascinating story that he hated it. And since then, whatever, they came out like 25 years ago.
At least.
Has been trying to re-record the entire album the way he wants it and has never released it because he can't get it quote unquote right.
I hate when artists have that Kanye West energy. It's like, shut
me
up.
Me too.
You tortured soul. Be thankful.
There was that weird era. In...
every episode of Dawson's Creek, that song. Thank you so much.
Yeah. We love it. The guy that wrote the Friends theme died super rich. That guy made gazillions of dollars with the Rembrandts or whatever. That song, who cares? Just cash in. It's hard to get anything going in entertainment.
Exactly.
If somebody pays you to do something good, great. You won. You won the victory
won.
Of the whole industry.
I love it. Settle, motherfuckers. Learn how to settle.
I Exactly. Settle it first and then try really hard. But you got to hit. We're talking about it 20 years later, bud. You did great. I was at a club in New York once, right in like 2010, when bottle service was a thing. Questlove was DJing at some club, and my friends were like, we can get in, let's go. So I was like, okay, it was really cool. Questlove ends. It was like Marquee or one of those that were like hot back then. And Owen Wilson comes in, and he sits at this VIP area, and he orders like 12 Coronas and a bottle of Patron. And then he was with some friends, some dude, and then they were just kind of like waiting for women to join. And no women joined at all. And so they didn't even really open the Patron. You know, the bottle service girls like pour, they were poured the shots for you or whatever. And so they just left. And me, like basically four broke guys just went over and finished the bottle and drank all the beers so fast and then just left. And we were like, we did it. We won. But I was like,
good thing you trained taking shots so you could down those Patron
shots. I'm telling you.
Full circle.
You just pulled a Hillary Duff in Million Dollar Baby.
Yes. In every
Look at
way.
All these dumb movie references. I need to read a book.
Also, Steve Carell should play Fungy the Dolphin, and he should do the voiceover in the animated version.
Oh, my God. If we could do it talking. I don't think it should be animated. It should be live action. He should just pop his mouth out and be like, hey, Ooh. Guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's pitch it to Peacock and HBO Max. I got a hookup.
You want one, Kurt?
Give us another one.
Okay. This is so... No spoilers for Michelle's special, Butopia. It's excellent. But the bit that killed me the most, and I'll just say the premise, not the the joke itself, is just that about fallers, that you're a faller, and that certain people
oh my God,
are fallers.
I love
like,
that.
They fall
That's
down.
Such a funny bit.
I won't say anything more. Watch the special. But that chick crushed me.
That faller bit and the bit about the people who bring the pillows on the airplane.
Yes.
two great bits. And they're back to back.
So I was trying to find a really good falling down story, and I stumbled across an older story that we all just need to revisit. This is from the Detroit News, but it was posted everywhere and sent in to us from Pinto Noir. Thank you, Pinto Noir. Headline goes a little something like this. Pantsless driver dies after being ejected through his sunroof while masturbating to porn on a cell phone when his car crashed and rolled over. So...
What
oh boy!
A way to go!
What is the natural fuck?
I'm gonna say it one more time because it's fun to say. Pantsless driver dies while being ejected through his sunroof while masturbating to porn on his cell phone when the car crashed and rolled over.
I feel like you just hit me with the season finale of Six Feet Under. You know how they do like.
Yeah. Is it coming back?
The opening title is yeah, like yeah. The way the person died.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have to unpack it. I'm unpacking right now.
Oh, boy. Well, so
I
was
love
he.
That he was also apparently not wearing a seatbelt either so that he could really fly.
Kurt, not only was he not wearing a seatbelt, but, let me just read this brief little. A Detroit man was killed when he was ejected through the sunroof of his car while driving on the highway with his pants down and masturbating to porn being shown on his cell phone. Clifford Jones, 58.
58.
Come on.
58.
Was killed instantly.
What is wrong with that?
What a way to go. Was killed instantly when his car rolled over in the early hours of Sunday morning. Probably on his way to pray it all away. So, not only, Kurt, was he not wearing a seatbelt, he was not wearing any trousers. Jones is believed to have been, wasn't wearing a seatbelt, which may have contributed to his ejection from the car. The accident happened at 3:30 a.m. on Sunday while Jones was traveling south on the ramp of Interstate I-75. It is believed he lost control because he was distracted. Yeah, it sounds like it. And unable to prevent his 96 Toyota from spinning out because he did not have his hands firmly on the steering wheel. Fortunately, no one else was hurt. That's the good part. So
that's really
a good part. But
also,
what about his wife or partner? Jesus.
Oh, man. But also, you have to figure out that, like, this crime scene.
Yes.
Or this accident scene is fucking crazy. And there is a lot of information that whoever was first on the scene, like, they had to know that he was looking at porn on his cell phone. That means they're probably porn
still
is
going.
Just still playing on his cell phone.
Still going.
Wow.
Completely pantsless.
Yes.
I wonder what porn he was looking at.
Yeah.
Is but there look, driving
he died
porn?
Doing what he loved.
He yes. did. We he should, loved yes. it so much that he couldn't wait until he got home. He had
Are you
to
really
do.
That horny at 58?
I hope not.
This guy is.
I hope get it over with. I got things I want to do. I don't know how to play the piano yet. There's stuff I'm trying to get done.
I mean, him at what? Well, Jeffrey Toobin is 60, and he's the CNN.
What is going on with Toobin?
You know.
Oh, yeah.
Tubes
and
out.
Also, I don't know if we talked about this, but that his excuse was just like, I'm really sorry, I thought the camera was off. And it's like, what are you talking about? That's your excuse? Did you mistake the Zoom call for the time you masturbate?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just like.
Totally insane.
It's really
that's so
crazy.
Selfish. It's like, can you wait 5 minutes? Sometimes I do a show and I'm hungry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not going to bring the hoagie on stage. Selfish
that's
motherfuckers.
Right. Yeah, get over it.
Man, he couldn't wait till Well, you know what? Yeah, he went out the way he wanted to go.
He went all the way out. We can only hope he climaxed. Maybe his whole thing. Maybe he's never gotten off before, and flying out the sunroof was like his like awakening. And he's like, "This is it. I've discovered what gets me." And then he just splatters.
Yeah, maybe it was a new move.
That's a new move.
Just a beautiful kind of Deadpool slow mo flying out the moonroof while coming onto his windshield, and then the car rolling over him.
Safety word for one.
What was he thinking?
Oh man,
what you got for Skirt?
We got one. We got two more here.
Mm-hmm.
Essex. This is from the BBC again.
Yes, I'm so glad.
A lot of BBC for you. This is all for you in Manchester. Essex firefighters rescue three men from tumble dryer.
What now?
This is a very British newspaper article because it never mentions how insane it is. It just says three men had to be rescued by firefighters after getting stuck in a tumble dryer. Essex County Fire and Rescue Service were called to a derelict laundry in Bower Hill, Epping, on Friday. After the men, thought to be in their late teens, crawled into an industrial-sized dryer. Two were in the dryer when the third's ankles became trapped in the door as he crawled in, the service said.
Always.
The men were left in the care of ambulances. Arduous conditions is the beginning of this paragraph.
Love that.
Essex Police, the Helicopter Medical Emergency Services, and the East of England Ambulance Services Hazardous Area Response Team also attended the incident.
Okay.
Fire service watch manager Glenn Jackson said crews had to help the third man into the tumble dryer before being able to remove the door and release all three. So he actually couldn't get in. The firefighters had to help him in. And quote,
oh
we used a range of equipment to free the casualties' ankles and allow him to crawl into the tumble dryer. The HEMS team gave him pain relief, and then we managed to move the door again using a range of equipment so the men could crawl out. It was a difficult site to access, and we had to carry a lot of heavy equipment a large distance from the appliances to the tumble dryer and then use our expertise to free the man safely.
Fuck so, that. Why are they taking this seriously? Leave them in there.
Yeah, turn
Fuck
it on.
That. No,
some
you get
in
there. You get yourself out, you dumb bitch.
I agree.
Absolutely not. All of these things are men. Men are fucking up.
Yes, there's no denying
what
you're saying.
100%.
You don't see women out there doing that shit.
Yes.
Nope. Three women are never getting in a tumble dryer in a derelict laundry. That's
no. The one story about the woman was sad. She couldn't swim with her fucking best friend.
Yes,
dolphin
very healthy.
All these other motherfuckers are pissing and get into stuff.
You're right.
It's the truth.
Dressing up as trees.
100%.
Even though this reminds me of the One Punky Brewster episode, the only one I can ever think about where they get locked inside the refrigerator. Do you remember that one? They're playing hide and go seek, and I think Punky or Cherry, one of the characters, gets in an old refrigerator, and then it's vacuumed, and then they do like a PSA at the end where they're like, "This is how you suffocate and die." It's like,
oh,
to me, the
God,
most famous
I
one.
Love
like,
that.
Oh, it's so crazy.
I love those PSAs with the 80s sitcoms. Oh my God.
within
yeah,
the show.
Yeah, you better not take that candy bar from a stranger.
That's right. Wow. So wait. They were just going to go goof off in this thing. They were just going to go take a little tumble.
I bet you they're in a band. They wanted a photo.
Oh man, that's what happens when you don't have YouTube tutorials. Kids are so smart now.
We do a lot of stories, Michelle, about kids teaching themselves how to drive and stuff. We've done like lots of stories where like an 11-year-old will just get in a bus and drive it. And you're like, oh, sure. He learned it on YouTube.
I saw a story where like the kid was like standing on the...
Yeah, he was standing somewhere. And flipped off the police. Like 12 police cars. He gave him the middle finger.
Fuck that homework.
Yeah, exactly. I love that kid. Can I ask you a question? You have boy-girl twins, right?
I do.
Do you notice, and this is, do you notice a difference between them being boy-girl? Because I notice a huge difference between my daughter and my son, like the way they interact with the world.
Yeah, I didn't even teach them any of that stuff, but he yells and like growls and loves cars and wheels. And I mean, she's down with all that stuff too, but she prefers to look at people and draw and just do. And she's, they're both loud though, which is annoying, but they take turns. But yeah, it's so crazy. Like even down to the hair, like her hair is longer. I'm like, who did this?
That's so crazy, isn't it?
Who did this? They were born at the same time, yet her hair is longer. I'm just like, Mother Nature and Father Time are misogynistic.
It's really crazy. My son is like, he's the younger one. And our daughter was just so pleasant as a small child. And now this one is like, all he is obsessed with trying to get into electric light switches and climbing things and jumping off of them. And he's one. Like, I'm fucking terrified of what it's going to be like in a year.
Like,
no, you have to just have a padded room, like a hip-hop video in the 90s. It's not, I mean, and my daughter is the brains and my son is the muscle, so... My husband hates when I say that, but I'm like, she got it. Like, she can't climb up over that thing, but she'll tell him to without saying words. They really can't say words. I'm just like, what the fuck?
That's cool.
It's insane. Like, I'll turn around and like one of them will have a knife just smiling. I'm like, look, Chucky, give me the fucking knife. And everyone's just like, well, you're so anxious. I'm like, move on, bitch.
There's
nobody
two of
asked
them.
You. Okay.
Yeah,
Cesar Milan, move the fuck on.
And is the twin thing a real thing, like where they're like just like in tune with each other kind of thing?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I can tell which one is crying, but I had to separate them because they keep waking each other up. But, you know, if one baby's up before the other and the other one just goes, huh, Otis is just like, that's Hazel. We got to go get her. And they talk to each other. They share everything. They don't really have a choice. And it's really fun to watch.
That's
but,
cool.
You know, when I actually have a minute to watch it, because it feels like it's happening in fast and slow motion all the time.
Right.
So that's why I take videos and pictures. You have to, so you can look back at it and be like, oh, sometimes I just put them in front of a TV so I like look at pictures of them. So I'm like, you are cute. This is working.
Yeah. No, because when you're in the middle of it, it's a real fucking it's
tornado.
A
yeah.
It is. It feels like you've gone to IKEA and bought too much. And now you're just trying to figure out how to take it home and put it together.
Suddenly your headboard of the bed you bought is the dresser. You're just connecting pieces left and right, and it's dystopian.
Oh, yeah. Why does this screw need a sock to go into this hole? It's very confusing.
Scotty, can you give us one to send us home?
I can. I found a fun one. This one I was just noodling around on the internet and found this from this week, written by Alex Hearn, the great Alex Hearn from UK Technology, Guardian UK. Amazon hits trouble with Sweden launch over lewd translation. So I know a little bit about this. So Swedish is a very difficult language for Google to translate, and now Amazon seemed to do it. Amazon's launch, this is pretty good. Amazon's launch of a Swedish retail site is its first in the Nordics, but it's caused embarrassment to the e-commerce company after a series of errors led to confusing, nonsensical, and occasionally vulgar product listings scattered across the catalog. I'm going to say some bad words, people. So if your kids are listening, you might want to skip to the end. So to start with, Amazon chose the wrong flag. They used the Argentine flag instead of the Swedish flag. which should have been placed on the country picker. It's unclear how the error happened, aside from copious uses of blue on the two flags, but they are in no way similar. Other problems were more understandable, thanks to a disastrous launch of automatic translations from other European branches. Nintendo Switch games were listed as Nintendo Circuit Breakers. A collection of Second World War era Russian infantry figurines, so little Russian infantry figurines, were translated as Russian toddlers.
Russian toddlers?
Yeah. Products figuring... this is when it gets a little dirty. Products featuring cats were hit particularly hard.
Yeah.
With the lewd double meaning of the word pussy leading to a t-shirt with a cat on it being labeled a Swedish term for pussy. So they're just selling cat t-shirts that are getting listed as the most vulgar version. Amazon says, we want to thank everybody for highlighting these issues and helping us make these changes, blah, blah, blah. And then everybody in Sweden is just annihilating them for not hiring real translators to type their products there.
I love it.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, I feel like this happens a lot in Sweden. Like H&M had a campaign a couple of years ago that had like a monkey on a sweatshirt, and they had this little black kid model it, and people were like, what?
Yes.
And so I feel like a lot of this gets lost in translation, and I feel like Sweden, they are smart. Everyone loves the meatballs and the lingonberry sauce. We got you. However, you know what I mean? This ain't ABBA, bitch. You gotta hire a translator.
I know. So the reason I picked this one, I know about this, is 15 years ago, I had a friend that was working on a commercial shoot, and I was broke. And he was like, do you want to be an extra? And I was like, sure. And he was like, actually, will you say a line and I'll pay you $900? I was like, absolutely. And the only thing they told me was the address and to show up in like a suit and tie. So I did. It was four. And please, any of our Swedish listeners, I don't know if this ever even happened. I never saw the commercial, but I think it was fufu.sweden or dot whatever that is. Fufu. And it was Google was having the hardest time it was a search engine in Swedish that was going to be better than Google there because they're having a hard time. So this is the commercial, and I'll never forget it. The entire crew was Swedish. The director was Swedish. I'm not an actor, Michelle. I'm just a writer. I had no aspirations. I just needed the money. So it was all these different people dressed in suits and ties as if we're like Wall Street. Also, I was 22 or something, 23. And a Swedish guy is confused among all these people crisscrossing, almost like just different directions. And so the director comes up to me, he goes, Scott. And I go, yes. He goes, can you say your line? And my line was, so you want 500 donuts. That was my line. And the bit was that the guy says something to me in Swedish, and then I mistranslate it. He asks for directions. I say, you want 500 donuts. The director goes, Scott, I want you to say it like the man in the Matrix mixed with pornography. So he starts rubbing his hand like in a circle, like his fingertips on his palm. Man in Matrix mixed with pornography. I did one take. I said, so you want 500 donuts? And he goes, great, thank you. And then I was escorted off and never saw the commercial. So if anybody's ever seen fofo.com or fofo.whatever, I've looked on the internet, I've looked on Reddit, I've looked on YouTube, I can't find it. But yes, I was the man in the Matrix mixed with pornography.
Oh my, you have lived a life, and now I want a donut.
Yes, me too.
Yeah, well, it's dinner time there, right? So you go. You go have a donut for dinner, Michelle.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you for having me. You guys are amazing. This has been bananas.
Oh, do you want to plug anything?
Yeah, I have a book coming out. It's available for pre-order. It's called Survival of the Thickest, Plus Size Essays in a Small-Minded World. And it's out September 8th. So just in time for your holiday, non-denominational, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Christmas, whatever you be doing.
Oh, that's great. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And watch Beautopia.
Bye, ladies.
Bye. Bananas. This has been an Exactly Right production.
Produced and engineered by Katie Levine.
Theme music by Kahan.
And all of our artwork is done by Travis Millard.
You can follow us on Instagram at The Bananas Podcast, where we post stories every day and things that we don't cover on the podcast.
Listen, subscribe, and please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast.
And if you're interested in advertising on Bananas, please email us at thebananaspodcast@gmail.com. That's thebananaspodcast@gmail.com.